Grace, mercy, and peace to you from Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You know, I don't have to tell you that it wounds us when we see members of our own congregations who don't behave like Christians. It offends our Christian sensibilities. Whenever we experience any kind of hypocrisy in our churches or observe church leaders who are not really living after the example of Christ, it also reflects poorly on Christ, and it damages our Christian witness when the world can point to such well-publicized cases of hypocrisy in the church. For those who deny the faith enthusiastically seem to search for such examples of hypocritical unfaithfulness to Christ in order to cast doubt on Christianity. And those who don't attend church hear about these acts of hypocrisy among Christians, and they use it to immunize themselves against the gospel that we bring to them and to justify why they don't need to be in church. How many times have we invited someone to attend church only to hear them tell us, no thanks? And when we ask them why, they tell us, because somewhere in their past, they have learned that the church is full of hypocrites. Often our response is to tell them that sinners and hypocrites are the very ones who need church the most. And so that is why you should expect to find hypocrites in the churches. But that is not nearly a good enough answer. What is hypocrisy? When we think of hypocrisy, we usually think of someone who preaches or proclaims to others how they should live, but then secretly lives another way. And by this definition, I guess we're all hypocrites. For sin keeps us all from living up to that holy life of Christ which we profess. For too often, what we profess as Christians and how we live are at variance. And believe me, others take notice. The problem here is that sin still clings even to Christians, and sin makes it a constant struggle for us to honor Jesus with our lives and then live up to the faith that we profess with our lips. Now, a Christian should always want to be careful never to cause anyone else to stumble in their walk with God. And it can happen that people see inconsistencies in the way we practice our faith versus the way we preach it. For every Christian can and does at times act hypocritically. Like removing weeds from our garden, it is a perennial problem for the Christian to remove sin from his or her life. And every unconfessed sin is a potential breeding ground for hypocrisy. We should also know that God does not take hypocrisy lightly. For even our momentary hypocrisies have eternal consequence. Even unintentional hypocrisy can bring great shame to the gospel, and it can give others a reason to fall away from the faith. God wants us to repent of our hypocrisy by confessing our sins and by trusting that the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. It's only this honesty and this openness to be able to admit our sins to ourselves and to God and to others that will keep us from being hypocrites. And yet in the parable of the wheat and the weeds, Jesus is describing something that goes far beyond what I would call an occasional lapse into hypocrisy. It's more than just accidental hypocrisy that sometimes we Christians stumble into without meaning to. But Jesus is describing an intentional and habitual form of living in hypocrisy as a hypocrite. And be warned, our occasional hypocrisy can turn into chronic hypocrisy unless we abandon the notion that we can talk one way as Christians in the church and then live like the world for the rest of the week without any qualms of conscience. So again, what is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is pretending to be something that you are not. And sadly, like the weeds that were sown among the wheat, in the church today, there are those who join our congregations, who put money into the offering plate, who attend church events, who serve even as church officers, who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them. Though they can be found among Christians, they are not Christians. They are hypocrites. And there is a difference between acting hypocritically sometimes and being a full-fledged hypocrite all the time. For a hypocrite never was a Christian or is no longer a Christian, even though his or her continued presence in the church makes this very hard to detect. The question before us is this: how can the church be true when so many within her are false? The sad state of affairs in Christianity today is that congregations are increasingly growing more worldly. Many churchgoers today feel no allegiance to God's word or to his doctrine, but they simply decide for themselves what they're going to believe as they go along. And this means that there are more and more pretenders in the church who, while they fill the pews, are not filled with the Spirit of the living Christ. For it is the Holy Spirit who works through God's word and causes us to believe in Jesus as our Savior and to live by his grace. What the hypocrite does not understand is that just because his or her name can be found somewhere in the church records does not automatically ensure that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yet the church is not unimportant, for church is where we receive the gifts of God and eternal life in the word and sacrament of Christ. How can the church be true when so many of its members these days are only impersonating true followers of Christ? Jesus gives the answer in this parable of the wheat and the weeds. The servants in the parable were very distressed when they found weeds growing in their master's field. Confused by it all, they went searching for their master for some kind of satisfactory explanation. In the same way, we are God's servants, we who have been members of the church long enough to be shocked to discover that mixed among the true believers in any given congregation, there are also hypocrites. And as God's servants, we struggle with this, and we look to his word for an explanation. How did the servants in the parable find the weeds in the first place? And how do we discover the hypocrite in our midst? While no one can look into the heart except for God, Jesus tells us that you can know whether a person is a true Christian rooted in Christ or a spiritual fake and fraud by their fruits. For the fruits of hypocrisy are essentially the fruits of the sinful nature. These fruits of hypocrisy manifest themselves in various ways. In the congregation, we may observe the hypocrite as he or she slanders and gossips against fellow Christians to hurt instead of to heal relationships. We may watch the hypocrite work to create factions and cause discord in the church simply to get his or her own way. We may be horrified to see the hypocrite raise a fuss over petty issues and personal agendas that should never divide the true unity of the church, a church that Christ purchased with his blood. We may witness the hypocrite use power and manipulation instead of love and servanthood in dealing with people and issues. Or the hypocrite may surface as someone who is legalistic and judgmental in making congregational decisions instead of living by grace and by showing mercy. The hypocrite, like the devil himself, loves to cast blame. So you will often hear the hypocrite make ultimatums and accusations toward others in the congregation instead of using Christ's love to encourage faith and to cover the weaknesses and failings of others. The hypocrite may be an influential member in the church who is wrongly influencing others to lower their biblical standards, swaying them through false teaching to fall in line with his or her own immoral actions. Just like weeds, hypocrisy comes in many forms. Sometimes you see that big, fat, thorny thistle about 3 foot high in your lawn, and you know it's definitely a weed that it needs pulled. But there are other times it's less obvious. For as immature plants come up out of the soil, we may not be sure which are the weeds and which are not. Yes, it is easy to spot instances of individual hypocrisy, but it is so much harder to identify the hypocrite. For the Bible says Satan is able to disguise his messengers so that they can even look like fine and upstanding members in the church. In fact, even the hypocrite himself may not be able to recognize that he is a hypocrite. For there are many weeds in churches on any given Sundays who imagine they are wheat. Remember how Jesus told us that not everyone who says to him on the last day, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven? For after these hypocrites tell Jesus about everything they did for him during their lifetime, Jesus will say, much to their surprise, "Get away from me, you who do evil." Now, God is often blamed for man's hypocrisy. And many would like to blame God for all the evils that are in the world, including the existence of hypocrites in the church. But what does the master in the parable say about this? He explains to his servants, "An enemy has done this." That was the answer in the parable. But what about real life? Who is our master? Christ. And who in real life is God's enemy, who more than anything wants to dishonor Christ, discourage Christians, and to discredit the gospel? Satan. For the devil strives to make the world think that the church is nothing but total hypocrisy. He attempts to make the church uninviting. Now, if the church were pure and perfect, everybody would recognize its hidden wisdom and treasures in Christ, and they would come running to it. But like a beautiful woman with a blemished face, the devil's evil intent is that by somehow marring the church's appearance, that the devil can keep people from seeing just how beautiful the church as Christ's bride truly is. Distracted by her blemishes, Satan knows that people will not look at her long enough for her to share the hopeful message that she is now radiant and white and spotless and pure and without blemish in God's sight through the atoning blood of Christ. Like the servants in the parable who discovered the weeds, Christians are often very distressed to find out that Christ's church is filled with false followers. I know it has often disheartened me as a pastor in the congregations I have served over the years to discover that there are members of those congregations that work against me and the gospel's purposes. This is why the enemy has placed hypocrites among us, to discourage us and to discredit the power of the gospel. In Galatians, Paul changes the metaphor. He does not speak of hypocrites as weeds, but as spies sent by the devil to infiltrate the church so that they might rob us of the gospel's comfort and bring us back under the accusing voice of the law. Paul often found himself in conflict with those in the church who were really not part of the church. In one place, Paul refers to them as hypocritical liars. And in another, with tears, he calls these hypocrites who were mixed among the faithful enemies of the cross of Christ. Why didn't this get Paul down? It did. And yet Paul did not stop serving the Lord or the Lord's church when he discovered that there were hypocrites within the church. Even the great Saint Peter was momentarily carried away by hypocrisy and did things which contradicted the gospel until Paul confronted him. If I had been Paul, I probably would have given up when I saw that not even St. Peter was being authentic to the gospel. But instead, Paul explains why he continued on to serve with all his might in Christ's church, despite the hypocrisy he witnessed. Paul says this, "I do everything for the sake of the elect." This was the apostle's way of saying, I am doing everything for the wheat in God's field, not the weeds. In the same way, we continue to work for the Lord in the church for the sake of the true believer, focusing on them instead of the hypocrites. I want you to consider this. What if Satan suddenly appeared before you one night in a convincing fashion? Wouldn't his appearance cause you to also believe in God? For in meeting the devil, wouldn't it also validate God's existence? In the same way, hypocrites within the church do not disprove Christianity. Rather, they validate that the church is true. For why else would evil be present in the church in the form of false saints unless evil were attempting with all its might to battle against God and his Christ who are good? Think about it and forget weeds and wheat for just a moment. If you were the evil one, where would you deploy your troops? Would you waste your time hindering those false religions which already promote your agenda to draw people away from the true and living God? Wouldn't you launch your counteroffensive against Jesus, who is the true God and eternal life? Wouldn't you do everything in your power to assault his church? In the parable, the weeds appeared because someone filled with hatred for the master who owned the field did not want him to succeed. And by planting false followers among true believers in the church, Satan means to plant doubts in your minds that there is neither a holy nor a Christian church, as we confess in the creed. Why would an enemy plant weeds where there was no wheat? Why would Satan go to this much effort to plant false followers within the church if the church did not consist of true followers of Christ? And why would Satan bother a spiritually lifeless congregation that was doing nothing to proclaim the gospel or to promote faith in Jesus? No pastor, no congregation wishes for days of divisiveness and conflict. And yet, when these occasions arise in the church, we should not let them discourage us. For in some way, these church conflicts validate that we are the true church that proclaims that Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Why else would Satan be bothering us and working so hard to stir up dissension and division within our congregation, except to distract us from continuing to proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ to a world of lost sinners? Perhaps the most troubling question to Christians is this: if God knew that the evil one would sneak hypocrites into his church, why didn't he do something about it? And the parable explains this too. In the parable, the master explains that if you pull up the weeds prematurely, you could uproot and damage the weed in the process. Therefore, waiting to weed the field was not a sign of the master's neglect, but of his compassion. For it was out of concern for the wheat that the master instructed his servants to wait until the harvest to gather the weeds and bundle them to be burned. My friends, if God really wanted to root out evil right now, your life would end with your next breath, and you would find yourself standing before God at the judgment. But you see, God is being merciful by not harvesting the wheat now and burning the weeds with unquenchable fire until everything is complete. For God allows both believer and hypocrite to grow together in his field, the church, until the whole number of those who are chosen to believe in Jesus Christ have come to faith, until more weeds become wheat by being forgiven and given new life in Christ. Only then will God instruct his angels to gather the harvest of all true followers of Christ and forever root out hypocrisy. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We continue with the offering as OFC sings.